we also want you to friend us and like us on Facebook. Radio. That Instagram that we have, check out our YouTube page and join our travel club.
Today we're talking about tourist traps.
Take them or leave them. And we've also hit our social media page to find out what some of you are thinking about tourist traps.
But we've got some news for you folks. Travel agents are asking, hey, what's going on?
Actually, they're calling it a shameless misuse of fuel surcharges, because fuel surcharges have always been applied, and especially they've increased or decreased based on the amount of the fuel, where the cost of fuel in the last year has really gone down.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it at the pump, but we haven't seen it on the airline ticket. So they have actually written to IATA. This particular group is called the United Federation of Travel Agents Association, and they really want to know what's going on. Why are the airlines still charging these high fuel surcharges? And there's a fare on the airline ticket that's not the actual price of the airfare, and you'll see it. It's called YQ. So if you look at the fare structure on your e-ticket, it's all printed out there. Look for the code YQ, and actually there's just various charges and fees that are bundled into that YQ. Fuel surcharges are one of them, and they have not decreased since fuel prices have gone down.
I wonder if they will, though. You know, you say, okay, well, they're just going to go back up later. Let's just leave it the way it is probably what they're thinking.
Well, remember we did a story about it some time ago when the prices started dropping, and we asked the same question, and American Airlines said that they had not reduced theirs because they were putting that extra money into other upgrades. And so they came out and said that it was being used for other reasons. But I just wonder, how legal is that? If I can't advertise one thing and give you something else, why is it that the airlines can do it? Or maybe they don't put it there, but they put it someplace else.
Good reasoning. Expedia is doing something different.
They certainly are. They are now accepting loyalty points for hotel bookings. So if you go on to Expedia.com to make a hotel booking and you have loyalty points with a hotel, you can make that booking using those loyalty points with Expedia. Previously, Expedia members had to first turn their points into a coupon and then use the coupon to make the purchase for your hotel on Expedia.com. But now that extra step is not necessary.
Oh, well, that's a good thing.
Yes, it is. It is.
That.
Yeah.
Now, if we could just get the hotels to accept the points when you buy the hotel reservation on these discount carriers.
Well, they do. It really depends on the type of reservation you have. Some reservations that are heavily discounted or come prepackaged may not, but in most cases, hotels will let you earn points for discounted travel. You really have to know what kind of package you have. Contact the hotel to see if those points are earned. Usually, when you just go to check into your hotel, you give your card or your number at that point. They put it into your record, and you'll earn those points. Now, you may not earn it in the same rate that you would if you booked a full-price hotel room. So just see what the restrictions are.
Great. Wi-Fi improvements are happening on flights.
One of the biggest complaints since Wi-Fi has been rolled out on board aircraft and in the air is that it is so slow and the bandwidth is not wide enough for anyone to do anything substantial. And this is especially a chord with business travelers who are trying to get a lot of work done. Maybe they're going to a meeting and they need some extra preparation, or even for those leisure travelers who want to do some video streaming. Well, that's going to change in 2016, which is just a few months away.
Right.
So you don't have to wait too long. And three of the major companies, there are basically four right now that are providing Wi-Fi services, but three of those companies are saying that you will see a major improvement and that Wi-Fi will be fast enough to stream very soon.
All right. Go on, airlines. Now, Norwegian Cruise is making some changes of its own.
They're actually making changes to their service charge policy. They say service charge, but it's really that gratuity.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about how this has changed over the years. It used to be strictly up to you, and you would tip your steward, your cabin steward, or you would tip those in the dining room, or you would tip along the way. And then the cruise lines changed their policy where they added it onto your bill, where they would charge you a certain amount per person per day. Well, it used to also be, or more recently, that you can dispute that if you didn't feel as though your service lived up to the amount that they were charging or that service charge that was being charged. Well, now Norwegian Cruise Lines is saying that you will no longer be able to remove or change that daily service charge that's added to your account. You cannot do it on board. You have to do it after the fact. You would have to go through their customer service and request it with the substantial claim of why you shouldn't have to pay it.
Oh, yeah. Man, and how many people are going to really do that?
Well, that's probably what they're banking on. Now, it used to be called the gratuity. Now it's called the DSC, or the daily service charge.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all for tipping people, but I just like if I was at a restaurant that automatically charges me or adds 18 to 20% to the bill, it is still a service charge, which means it's related to the service that you've provided.
Mm-hmm. Are they shrinking the airline seats, or is my behind just getting bigger?
I ask the same question myself, especially the last time I was on an aircraft in economy class. Thought, you know, my hips are touching the sides of the seats, and I don't remember that happening before. Well, I will certainly blame it on the airline and the shrinking seat, because I refuse to say that I'm getting any wider, although that may be the case. But, yes, over the years, and especially since the 70s, which was the beginning of deregulation, we have seen the shrinking airline seat, that pitch that we all talk about, that leg room. Not only the leg room, but the width of the seat as well, since deregulation, has gone on average from 18 inches to 16 inches as far as the width is concerned. And as far as that leg room,
right,
it's gone from 35 inches to, on average, 31 inches. Some consumer advocate groups are saying, wait a minute, let's get a standard size seat and pitch. And Flyers Rights is one of them. So let's see if that'll happen. We know what happened with IATA that came out and said, let's standardize the carry-on luggage. Well, we just hope it doesn't get any smaller.
Exactly. The war is continuing with the open skies.
It certainly is. I think we talked about this even last week. Well, it is continuing, and things are really heating up. So just to refresh everyone's memory, the open skies agreement allows foreign carriers to operate in the United States and provide domestic flight services in the United States. But it's not just a one-way street. It also allows U.S. flag carriers to do the same internationally. Well, what is called in this case US-3, Delta, American, United Airlines, they really are focusing on what is also called the ME-3, Middle Eastern 3.
Oh, yeah.
Emirates, Etihad, and Qatar, but it doesn't just involve them, but we're looking at the big three versus
mm-hmm.
the big three,
mm-hmm.
because they also put a stop to, or have stalled, the Norwegian Air International's application to serve in the United States, and it's now been stalled for another 19 months, and they're saying, wait a minute, this is really getting in the way of that trusted open skies partnership. It looks bad as far as the image is concerned, and it also looks bad as far as that free market enterprise and that advocate for global economic liberalizations.
And that's true. I mean, we look like we want to take our ball and go home. The thing, though, I was thinking about when you were talking about it is we know how those flights are and how those that service is. With our carriers going over there, are they considered under par because of what the people are usually used to getting?
Well, certainly, because if you're looking at foreign flag carriers within Europe, within the other, well, Europe is kind of falling along the same pattern as the United States as far as no meal service and all of that. But you do find that some of these other foreign carriers are still offering meal services and other services that we've cut out here. But at the same time, it lends for more competition. Sometimes people are okay with not getting those services if the price is right.
True that.
Okay. Cancun has a new museum.
They do. Well, actually, they've had the museum for quite some time, the Underwater Museum of Art. And it is a collection of underwater galleries and statues that were created by British artist Jason Decaires Taylor. And these figures are beautiful and they're haunting at the same time. What they've done is they have increased it and they've just added 500 more statues in this particular gallery. It debuted in 2010, but they've been adding to it over the years, and so they've just gotten another addition. And it's real. It's called El Entendimiento, which is translation, understanding. So that's what the collection of people.
We had talked about it when it first went under.
Right.
Now, this is something that you can only see if you're diving or snorkel. I don't know if you can see it if you're snorkeling.
No, you can't see it when you're snorkeling. You can only see it when you're diving. But those exhibitions have really increased over the time.
That would scare the heck out of me.
No.
Bob Marr, oh boy.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen here with Baha Mar, but the organization, they're really not happy with the latest development, which is that the U.S. court said that they would not, and that in their opinion, the bankruptcy filing would is an international case, and they would not uphold it. And one of the companies is registered here in the United States, and that is the North Shore Mainland Services. But remember, there are other international entities, and it's actually in the Bahamas. So with the U.S. saying, you know, we're not getting involved, and we don't want to post any or pass any judgment on it, it's just going to further delay things. So we don't know what's going to happen. It's a $3.5 billion resort. When we saw it, it was still in its construction phase. It was supposed to have been open and fully operational a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
we were
still
there,
nothing has happened.
We're close.
No.
No. Okay. International visitors are up to the U.S.
Oh, they really are, especially for the first quarter of 2015. We are looking at a significant amount of people who have come in, to the tune of 16 million international visitors for the first quarter. That's up for more than 183,000 visitors for that first quarter compared to the first quarter of 2014. Well, where are they coming from?
Yeah,
Canada.
Really?
Not all of them, but Canada and Mexico topped the list. As a matter of fact, Canada has decreased a bit, around 4 or 5%, where Mexico has increased 6%. Japan also tops the list. The United Kingdom, Brazil, China, South Korea, Germany, France, and Australia.
Well, all right then. That's it for Travel News. And when we come back, we have Javon's Travel Minute, and we're going to talk about those tourist traps. You're listening to The Traveling Eye. I'm Bonnie Deshaun.
And I'm Javon Harley on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141.
School may be out for the day, but that doesn't mean the learning has to stop. This is Betty Weller, president of the Maryland State Education Association. Student success depends on learning in and out of the classroom. So after that school bell rings, practice math on the way home with your child. Talk about the latest news and take time to read together every night. Student success is a team effort.
A message from the Maryland State Education Association.
Technology moves at the speed of innovation. And today, that's lightning fast. So when you get your hands on the latest tech, don't forget to do the right thing with your old devices. Recycle them. The Consumer Electronics Association and its members are making recycling your old tech device as easy as purchasing new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the responsible recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find lots of tips to simplify your recycling, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Television sets, video game consoles, smartphones, tablets, they're all recyclable. Don't let them clog up your local landfill. Just visit greenergadgets.org. You're sharp enough to get the latest tech tools into your home. Now be responsible enough to get your old devices to the recycler. That's greenergadgets.org.
Hi, I'm Hoda Kotb from NBC's Today Show. I am so excited to let you know that I have my very own exclusive show on Today Show Radio on Sirius XM. After you listen to Kathy Lee and Hoda talk to me about it, we're going to talk music, tech, exercise, nutrition, relationships, and celebs.
This show is going to be so much fun.
We're going to get to know each other.
Join me, Hoda Kotb, for
The Hoda Show, Mondays and Wednesdays, 2 p.m. East on Today Show Radio, Sirius XM 108.
What do I cherish? Precious moments. Watching Dad read to my little Eric. That's why I'm so grateful I insisted on an eye exam when I noticed him struggling with the words on the page. We found out Dad has age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. Fortunately, the doctor caught it in time for treatment, so Dad can still read. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on preventing and managing AMD. The cure is in sight.
Hi, I'm Craig Morgan. You might know me for my songs. But before I sang country music, I served in the United States Army, where I stood side by side with some of the most resilient people I've ever met. They taught me that one small act can make a big difference during tough times. If you're a veteran or service member in crisis or having thoughts of suicide, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. One conversation can save a life. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
Welcome back to The Traveling Eye on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Bonnie DeShawn.
And I'm Javon Harley.
Okay, guys, go to our Facebook page, our Twitter, our Instagram, and we want to hear from you. So make sure you join us and like us and friend us and all that other good stuff and use the hashtag The Traveling Eye Show. And now it's time for Javon's Travel Minute. This is my second edition of Trash to Treasure, taking those everyday items you may throw away or no longer use and adding them to your travels. Pillowcases are often out with the old and in with the new, but you can use them for laundry bags in your luggage for your dirty clothes. Those disposable shower caps can be used over your shoes to protect your clothes from the dirt on the bottom. Now, this one isn't trash, but it makes good use of a product that's meant for something else, and that's the dryer sheets or fabric softener. Use a few in your luggage for freshly scented clothes. And this last one, I saw it on the internet. If you don't have a corkscrew and you just have to have that bottle of wine, well, don't fret. You can use your shoe to see how it's done. Check out our Facebook page for the post. This is Javon, and that was your Travel Minute.
Your shoe?
You can use your shoe. It's very interesting. Oh. I saw it, and I was like, oh, that's so neat. I've got to try it just for the sake of trying it. Not a high heel shoe, it's like a man's shoe
right.
or one of your flat
right.
shoes. But, yeah, it's the shoe, the wall, and some tapping, and that cork will come out.
Dang.
I'm going to have to go to our Facebook page and check that out. I like the pillowcase. I never would have thought of the shower cap.
Yeah, when you're in your hotel room, if you just hide it, take it. The maid will or housekeeping will give you another one.
Right.
Okay.
You know what I usually do sometimes as well is I'll take them and wrap those things that may spill inside of them. So there are many uses for these things.
I've done that one.
Yeah.
Okay, we have, you know, this is topic is a great one because we've all been pigeonholed into that tourist trap.
We certainly have. And I've even taken my groups to
guilty as charged.
But sometimes you just have to.
Well, you got
because it's part of the destination. And we know that that tourist trap is going to be that establishment that has been created mm-hmm. or repurposed. That's the biggest one that gets you, those that are repurposed. And, of course, this is primarily to attract tourists. So there's usually not a lot of authenticity
not a lot of local flavor or flair. So everybody you meet is going to be from someplace else.
Right.
But then again, sometimes we just have to do it. And this could be anything from entertainment to food to services or the sites themselves and the souvenirs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did several things. One, I have my own list. Two, I hit the internet to see if I can find what some of the other people did or didn't like. And I went to social media to see what some of our followers didn't like. So take it or leave it was the topic, and that's how people responded, what they will take and what they will leave. Let me start with my two.
Okay.
I'll take Times Square. There's just something about it. Like my recent trip to New York, walking to the train station, when you get to Times Square, you're like, it's Times Square. Yes, it's nothing but advertisement.
And the naked guy with the guitar.
Yeah, and lately there have been some topless women there, too, because women want to go topless, too.
Okay.
I don't know why, but okay. It's just something that you really just have to do. I really wanted to take that picture in Times Square, look at all the advertisement, look at all the crazy people that are there. And, yeah, there's no unique value to it other than it's in New York.
You feel like you're a part of the crowd when you're in Times Square.
Right.
You know, it's like, yes.
So I'll take it.
Okay,
I'll take it. You get there, you take your picture, and you move on.
Right.
Now, my leave it, any of the sound and light shows. I just do not like the sound and light shows. I have gone on once in Greece at the Parthenon. I've gone to one in Israel.
Yeah.
I've gone to one in Egypt.
Yeah,
at Abu Simbel and some other ones, I just don't care. And I hate going on these things where there's site inspections or fam trips, and then they go, the sound and light show. I'm like, oh, no.
Not another
one. I've got to sit through that. And if you haven't been to a sound and light show, this is what it is. It's basically laser lights that are usually shot over a building or along the side of a building. And it kind of is supposed to put you back in that time, tell that story, kind of put you in the movies almost. And then, of course, the audio is usually this very deep voice telling you what's going on
the
in the
story.
Whole reenactment.
And a lot
laser
of
light.
A lot of loud music, too. It's a lot of
music.
Yeah. And it's usually, after the first 5 minutes, it's like, okay.
I know. And here's what I say. If you must do a sound and light show, do one that does not include dinner. Because typically, if it includes dinner, it's overpriced and the food is horrible. Out of all the ones that I've done, the one I enjoyed the most was at Abu Simbel. And that did not include dinner. We were on the cruise ship, so we came off. And we were sitting amongst the ruins at Abu Simbel. So the laser lights actually played alongside the actual tombs and statues and temples, and they used them as part of the story as well. So a lot of people like them.
Well, I think sitting in the middle of the tombs and stuff in Egypt, that at night, that is just phenomenal right there within itself. So that was cool. I'm simple. I like the one they have at Disney World at Epcot.
It's cool.
You know, it's like, okay.
It's just overpriced for what?
Yeah.
Anyway, one of the other ones that was on a lot of people's list, and I hadn't really thought about it, that was Dunn's River Falls in Ocho Rios in Jamaica.
Yeah.
It's something that a lot of people do,
mm-hmm.
and I've done it. I've done it a few times. And so then the falls itself is a natural falls. It was not created. It's just there. What makes it a tourist trap is the repurpose of it,
right.
The repurpose of climbing it. And you have a guide, and you're strung along with your hands, and everybody loses something, and it's slippery. And then, of course, there are people there selling you stuff
all over the place, completely all over the place. But it's kind of neat, though, to climb the falls, and you get to the top, and you go, dang, I climbed a waterfall.
Yeah. That's what makes it interesting. Another one is, and I've done this one in Shanghai in China, the Nanjing Donglu. Now, the Nanjing Donglu is a road, or Nanjing Road is this major shopping road. But specifically, Nanjing Donglu is a pedestrian street, and it's nothing but shops and shops and shops. It's not as authentic. A lot of guidebooks recommend it. Shanghai itself has really become this big commercial place that looks very little like China now. It looks like it could be anywhere. But what I recommend, because Nanjing Donglu is supposed to be this place for great shopping, a lot of high-end as well as knockoffs and things like that, what I recommend is that for the best deals, ask your hotel concierge what they recommend. There are lots of places along Nanjing Road that actually spans east to west that are off of that main shopping road, mm-hmm. but you can get some better bargains and deals because it's not right there in the middle where everyone goes.
Well, I like the name of the street. I mean, I want to go just because of the name of the street.
Another one that was a very authentic experience that has now lost its authenticity is the floating market in Bangkok. It has now become an authentic tourist trap.
Really?
Where it used to be the local spot for the Thai people to go to get fresh fruits and vegetables all along the boats and other types of shopping. Of course, that experience is still there, but now it's just as much for the tourists as it is for locals. You know, it used to be that you would get different things that you can buy to eat as well, like they had the noodle boats, and you could shop for different produce and knickknacks. And while you can still do that, it's become a little seedy as mm-hmm. well. Now it's just overrun with tourists. There's an authentic experience that has gone wrong.
Just invite tourists. And the locals have gone somewhere else.
Exactly. And Tokyo, all of central Tokyo, because Tokyo is really just this metropolis. But what I like about it's one of my tickets, because what I like about Tokyo is that it's just like Times Square. You have this experience that you can only find in Tokyo with all its glitz and glamour. So I just say embrace it. Embrace it for what the city is known for and marvel at the crowds. Take the train, especially at rush hour, and or just sit at a Starbucks on a corner and watch people move about, because it's massive amounts of people, and they do so effortlessly, and the technology and electronics and everything that you can see, you just want to watch people navigate this whole process. So, yeah, get yourself a cup of coffee and just watch
just
it.
Watch it.
And then sometimes you can just kind of get down in there with it, too, and run across the street.
And then run right back. Don't go too far.
Exactly. That's how you get the best out of a tourist track. Now, another one is the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And you may say, wait a minute, how is that a tourist trap?
Oh, trust me.
Well, it's architecture that's gone wrong.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of it. It's like it's leaning, and it's leaning more and more every year. And how is it still standing? It should not even be there anymore. People have predicted that it would have fallen a long time ago, but it has not. So that's very interesting.
I love walking up those stairs. I mean, you go around and around and around and around.
Right.
And around and around and around.
Well, they call it a tourist trap because outside of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, there's really nothing. It's the only reason people go to Pisa is to see the Leaning Tower. And because there's nothing really to do or see there other than the tower, then you pay the 15 euros and you walk up the spiral step.
Round and round. Oh, but get some gelato while you're there. That was the best gelato I had in Italy.
It is. And it was some of the most affordable gelato in the country. Here's the thing. We all do silly things. And so this is a tourist trap I think I'll take, because you can't go to Italy and not see the Leaning Tower of Pisa and take the obligatory photo of you holding it up. You just got to do it.
You got to do it. You got to do it. I think we have that on our website, a picture of us holding up the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Yeah. At first, you think everybody's silly for doing it, and then all of a sudden, you find yourself there taking the pose and doing it. I'm taking your picture and trying to get it just right. So, yeah. Anyway, so we'll take that one. Now, another one that I like, and I'll specifically talk about this one, but there are lots of cultural villages or places of reenactment that people can consider a tourist trap. But I like the Lasiti Cultural Village.
It was in my head. I knew you were going to say that.
The Lasiti Cultural Village is in South Africa, just outside of Johannesburg. And I take my groups there. I do. Lasiti is the word that means place of light. It is a manufactured cultural village. Of course, it's a traditional, or it represents a traditional way of life of some of the different tribal groups in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, the reenactors, seem to enjoy what they're doing. And
right.
I think that is probably the biggest difference between a reenactment type of facility that's done well or one that you're like, why am I here?
Right.
If the actors make you believe it, and they do, especially when you get to the dancing. So when you go to the Lasiti Cultural Village, you're first greeted by Zulu warriors, and you have to respond before they'll even let you in.
Right.
So, yeah, they take it very seriously. Everyone is in full costume when you walk in, and they then take you on a tour of traditional villages and what their different houses represent and why things are the way that they are. And again, everyone is in full dress. Then you go and they teach you or show you the traditional dances of the different tribal groups. And then you finish up with a nice traditional meal. Actually, a lot of the food is still eaten today. So it's
right.
Not just traditional food. It is, but it's still served on tables
today. You get
a
challah and all the exotic kind of things that you say, what? You know,
yeah.
Then they get chicken too.
But I like Lasiti, and a couple of times we thought about cutting it off of our itinerary, but then we see how people really enjoy it. So
it's fun. It's
we
fun.
We leave it on there.
Yeah. It's fun, and you get to see some really great things and how things are made and stuff, and then you buy.
And then you buy things. But the things that you buy are made in South Africa.
Yes.
So that's one thing that I do like about it. Now, here's another one. Let's go back to Italy. The gondola ride.
Oh, you gotta do that. And you really want the guy to sing "O Sole Mio." I mean,
and they're dressed in the striped shirt and the hat and all of that. But yeah, you know.
Yeah, you got to. I mean, it's just hey, you don't have to say another word. It's there.
So that's on another take it list.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great way really to see Venice and to meander through the canals. And it is very different to see it from the gondola. And yes, I want my gondolier in full dress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And maybe even the ones that are singing.
I want the singing.
Opera music.
Yes.
Yeah. Italian opera music. Now, here's one that is a little on both sides. And this is Uluru in Australia. Now, the take it part for me is just to see the rock, the beautiful red rock. And it doesn't look like it's much to it, but when you see it at sunset,
beautiful,
especially, or you see it at sunrise, it's beautiful. So just for the scenic beauty of it, and especially if you go around the sunset and you have a sundowner, it's nice to sit there with a cocktail and see the sunset on this red rock
and see some of the figures that are in the rock from old, not some of the ones that some of the crazy people have tried to put in it, but you know, just to see this rock sitting there, it's beautiful.
It's
beautiful.
Now the leave it part to Ayers Rock or Uluru is climbing it. Now, it is a sacred place for the indigenous Australian people. So It's disrespectful to climb the rock, yet the government still allows it. I think the government should not allow it. But instead, they give you these pamphlets that say, please respect the rock. And there are no facilities at the top, so people even desecrate it. So for that purpose, leave it. Do not climb the rock. Just go to view the rock and its beauty.
My leave it for the rock was when we took the tour with the ranger and the Aboriginal gentleman. He was speaking and she was interpreting, and then after the tour he spoke perfect English, and then maybe they were trying to give us an experience of hearing the language, but
maybe so, but
that was the part I didn't like.
Yeah, that kind of loses its authenticity.
Right.
When you feel like you, wait a minute,
have I just been? Here's my card, and
yeah. But I think it was what was done when we were there was storytelling.
Yeah.
Because in their culture, there's a lot of dream time or storytelling, and so that's what they were trying to put us in the mood for. But you have to stay in character until we leave.
Right, exactly.
You don't break character the minute.
Exactly.
Exactly. Now, here, towers or needles anywhere. Yes, they promise a view of the city, but they charge you. And here's what you can do. Most cities have free alternatives, where you can go to another high rise or a bridge or a vantage point on the top of a hill and get a fantastic view. Now, I know that they've been creative as of late, sorry, Willis Tower, in doing the skywalks or the one that comes out just to give you another experience. Otherwise, it's just a tall building where you get a view. And so there are other places that you can do. For example, there are places where you can go for a cocktail and get a fantastic view of the same building without paying the cover charge, just to go to the top of the building. And when it comes to restaurants, typically the restaurants are not the best restaurants. They're overpriced. So go to a better restaurant and go to a free vantage point and take in a beautiful view. And what can be really fun is finding different places to get a different view of the city.
But you do know the Eiffel Tower, the Willis Tower, and the tower in Dubai. You know, you got
The Willis Tower, I can leave.
Yeah.
The Eiffel Tower is a different kind of structure.
Mm-hmm.
It is a tower, but it was built for the World Fair. It's. I think that one's a little different. And their restaurant is quite nice, actually. Now, the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, that is the tallest building in the world. So because it has that title, that can stay on the leave it list. So other places like this needle or that needle, like we were in Tokyo, and I was not going to go up to that tower. You know, the CN Tower in Canada is just another tower, and I felt that that restaurant was okay. Well, in Auckland, I decided to jump off that one. So
yes, you did. And that's also on our website, folks.
So
if
you can
see Javon jumping off of that.
If you can find something else to do,
it's okay.
It's okay. Like jump off of the skywalk or as I said, just jumping off the tower. Now, here's one. When you have an entire destination that was created for a playground, it's going to be on the list, and that's Cancun.
Oh, yeah, you got it.
All
of Cancun.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go.
It's just hotel after hotel after hotel, and mostly all-inclusives of not-so-great food. So it's hard-pressed to find an authentic experience in Cancun.
True.
Another option is maybe go to Playa del Carmen.
Yeah.
It's outside of Cancun, and they do have great beaches, and I won't take it away from Cancun. They also have the crystal blue waters, which are beautiful, but there are a lot of other Caribbean islands and destinations where you can get that same thing without all of the manufactured I like parts of it. But Playa del Carmen has a nice little town. And you feel like you're in Mexico.
Right.
That's what I like about it. Cancun, I don't feel like I'm in Mexico.
Because you're not.
Okay, we're going to put souvenirs on this list. Why? Because souvenirs that are made in China, all over the world.
All over the world. Wherever you go, I don't care what country, check your souvenirs.
I refuse to buy a souvenir that says made in China, although sometimes it's hard-pressed. It's hard to find.
Right. But it's also kind of hard to even, they've gotten wise where they hide the label that says made in China.
Really tiny.
I still have things in my closet that I have bought to give people from years ago from going on all these trips.
Well, the only souvenirs you should buy that say made in China should be in China. Because think about it, when I was in China, I didn't see anything that said made in the USA.
No, you won't.
It'll be too expensive.
Well, mostly because everything is made in China.
Yeah, but that's where I draw the line. And you're not supporting the local culture or economy. And there are a lot of people who make their own things and come out to sell to you. So try to support those first. Mm-hmm. Yeah, leave the made in China
in China.
Now, on social media, a few of our friends brought some things to my attention. One is the Las Vegas Strip.
I know, and I was going to say, that's one of my favorite things, is walking down the strip and seeing all the cheesy things that are out there and the lights.
And the shoulder-to-shoulder, like you're in a pinball machine trying to make your way through.
Yeah, everybody's going nowhere, you know.
Right. Well, the other thing that drives me crazy about the strip is that when you are trying to cross the street or when you're, you know, it's just the next building, but because each building is a mile long.
Right.
Two buildings down is a long walk. You might as well just take a taxi. And then you're going to pay a fortune because there's so much traffic because of the strip, and everybody's just looking around. And then it's not so easy to cross the street because you can't cross at every street. Mm-hmm. You have to find the street where you can take the little bridge over. So sometimes that's another thing you have to deal with.
Girl, just pay $1.50, get on the bus, and it'll take you
all day up and down the strip, all up and down the strip.
Well, one thing you will find on the strip brings me to another point that, and I'm sorry, that was Meg who did not like the Las Vegas strip. But Steve said, what about those timeshare tours?
Now, I'm sorry, Steve. I'm with you. I'm with you 100% on that one.
I wonder how many collective hours we spent on those timeshare presentations just to get that gift.
And then when you get there and you go, after 3 out of 5 hours, you're sitting there and you go, is it worth it?
Exactly.
Is it worth it?
All right. Well, that's our tourist trap list. Take it or leave it. I'm sure you have your own. And, it's just a matter of your personal preference and if you want to take it or leave it.
Okay. When we come back, we've got